Welcome to this soul-lifting broadcast, which has been put together for your spiritual growth and to make greatness common right where you are. Be sure to make the best of this moment as God takes the lead in all that concerns you.
Matthew 28, from verse 1 to 8, we are celebrating the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which are the two most significant events in human history. Matthew 28, from verse 1 to 8, the Bible says, "Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the angel and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here.'" Can you hear me tell somebody around to say, "He's not here, for he is risen." As he said, this is a confirmation of what Jesus already said. Said, "Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples the word. The Lord bless the reading of his word. This scripture described this undeniable experience. Some people around the world may still be trying to deny this experience. Did he really die? And even if he died, they crucified him, did he resurrect? Jesus, in many parts of the scriptures, spoke ahead of this, saying things like, "If you pull down this temple, I will raise it up in 3 days." And some of them did not understand what he was talking about. He said, "The corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone." John 12, 24, that I quoted earlier on. The Bible is replete with Jesus himself talking about his death and resurrection. In John chapter 1, and I think verse 20, John saw him and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world." John, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he described what was going to happen or who Jesus is. John 1 and 29. John 1 and verse 29. He described what you would call the person of Jesus or the essence of his coming. He came to take away the sins of the world. The Lamb of God. And if you call him the Lamb of God, the one notable thing they did with lambs those days was that they killed lambs for sacrifices. They sacrificed lambs. And also in Exodus, you know, chapter 12, when you read, I think from about verse 12 there, you see that God gave Moses the instruction that the Jews should kill the lambs and put the blood on the doorpost. In verse 12 of Exodus chapter 12, he said, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." This was a warfare statement. We're not joking here. He said, "I'm the Lord, the Jehovah Sabaoth, the man of war. I'm going to fight against your enemy. I'm going to deal with Egypt." And you know, after the 10th plague, this happened. God moved through Egypt. The Bible says in verse 13 there of Exodus 12, "Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. I mean, I can go on and on, and God instituted the Passover from that point and gave them specific instructions. But this was what John saw in the spirit. The same way that every household had to slaughter a lamb for sacrifice and put the blood on the doorpost to escape the plague in Egypt, to escape the spirit of death in Egypt, the same way John saw Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world." And if he took away the sins of the world, then the same way plagues pass over them in Egypt, plagues will also pass over us from time to time. Can I get somebody to say amen to that? Yeah. Is the Lamb of God the number one sin? The number one issue, problem of humanity is not COVID-19. Yeah. Many plagues have come and gone. In fact, COVID-19 cannot be compared to any of the plagues in Egypt. It's not as later or deadly as the kind of plagues that they experienced in Egypt. It's not even as deadly as even the last plague that we had in this part of the world, maybe mainly in Africa, Ebola. So, this season is not the most significant. You may think it's the most important thing that you have seen ever since you were born, because we have not witnessed anything that will shut down our planet. But I want to let you know that man's greatest problem is the sinful nature. Jesus, when he hung on the cross, he paid the ultimate price for us to be able to live above sin and its attendant effects in our lives. And any other thing that will come as an offshoot of man's undoing, as an offshoot of, you know, of man's indiscipline, man's inability to control himself and control his flesh. Jesus paid the price for all this. So there are many undeniable demonstrations of God's power in the scriptures that held the disciples to a point where they were able to die for what they believe. Because of all these undeniable proofs, starting from the Old Testament, the plague in Egypt, if you have the opportunity to meet Pharaoh of old, whether on this in this part of, you know, of heaven or on the other side, and ask him, please. Ask him about the power of God. And he will tell you he has never seen any harassment like that before in his life. God sometimes wants to read divine superpower to us. Pharaoh was the superpower of the day. Egypt was the superpower. Now many nations are shaking. They may have the power of the gun, the power of jet fighters and different things. But with everything, even the people who are boasting with nuclear weapons, just small COVID-19 came now. Everybody has sat down. Yeah, we have had peace for how many months now? Like 2 months. Yeah. God has a way of redefining the real himself for us to understand that he is the real superpower. He is the real deal. And how does he do that? He does that with undeniable encounters. Undeniable encounters. Pharaoh needed the plagues to know that our God is not a joke. Our God is not a joke. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, when you read from verse 13, in the New Testament, they saw undeniable proof of God's power. They said now they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men. But what they have seen was that they had been with Christ. And then when you read further there, the Bible says in verse 14, it says, "Seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against them." This is undeniable. They could say nothing against them. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred amongst themselves, saying, look at what they were saying, "What shall we do to this man? For indeed that a notable, undeniable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. We cannot deny it. We cannot. All through scriptures, you see how God will manifest himself in such a way that even atheists will not be able to deny that this is out of the ordinary. That's the benefit of Easter. That's what we have come to celebrate today. The undeniable power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. And that power is still available today. And this is the season for you and I to trust God for undeniable encounters in our lives. As we celebrate Easter this year, in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, God still wants to manifest himself. He still wants to blow our mind. He still wants to show himself as the God of all flesh with whom all things are possible. The God of all flesh with whom all things are possible. Thomas of old, Thomas Didymus, the twins, one of the disciples of Jesus, said, "Except I see the hole in his hands and I touch his side, I will not believe." And in John chapter 20, Jesus showed up to him when you read from verse 24. He said, "Just because I know there are different kinds of human beings. Blessed are the ones who did not see and believe. But I have provision for the people who will wait for their own experience." So he showed up to Thomas and said, "This is my hand, touch. This is my side, touch. And see." What did Thomas do when he saw, I think verse 26 or 28? Thomas answered in verse 28 and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And he went on his knees. Literally. The Bible may not have written it like that, but you can't be saying "my Lord and my God" and be standing. Wherever you are hearing me and you are watching this service from today, I need you to understand that God wants to give you undeniable experiences in your marriage, in your business, even post-COVID-19, that will bring you to your knees, that you will be able to say, "You are my Lord and you are my God. Because the things that you are doing in my life, only you can do this kind of thing. This is not because of my wisdom. This is not because I'm strong. This is not because I have connections. This is not because of anything, but because the resurrection power of Jesus Christ is available in my life." Say amen, somebody. Glory be to Jesus. I said glory be to Jesus. In 1 John 1 and verse 1, you know, the writer of the book of John was saying there, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life." There was something they saw. Undeniable encounters. You know, all the people that were killed, all the martyrs, they had the opportunity sometimes to even escape. Stephen could have escaped. I hope you understand what I'm saying. But he stayed. Just the same way the apostle said in Acts chapter 4 there, when you read further, you know what they told them. When you read further, they said, we cannot say we did not see what we have seen. Yeah. So they threatened them, and they said they must not talk again in the name of Jesus. But they said, "No, we cannot say we did not see what we have seen." That's what this apostle was talking about here too. They said, the things that we have seen, that we have taught, that we have handled of the word of life, those things are the things that we present to you. It's time for somebody joining this service today to come into an agreement with God that in my lifetime, I will be able to say, according to 1 John 1:1, that the things which I have handled, that I have seen of the word of life, that's what I will pass to the next generation. That I will not have empty stories. In 2 years' time, in 3 years' time, what kind of stories will you be telling about COVID-19? Will you say it came and wiped me out, wiped everything around me out, wiped my business out, and scattered my family? Or will you say that our God is a good God? Will you say, despite it all, the God that raised Jesus from the dead came true for me because I released my faith? and God moved on my behalf. Glory be to Jesus. I said, glory be to Jesus. As I start to wrap this all up, it's on this premise that I want to encourage someone here, someone joining this service today, that it's time we crave for encounters in these trying times. It's time that we trust God for certain undeniable experiences. And I'm going to go through maybe about four of them quickly, in quick succession. Things that you and I need to trust God for in this season. First one is undeniable divine direction for destiny fulfillment. Undeniable divine direction for destiny fulfillment. The type that Paul had on the road to Damascus in Acts of the Apostles chapter 9, when you read from verse 1. Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, on the road to Damascus, had an encounter with Jesus. Undeniable encounter. The Bible says in verse 1, then Saul, still breathing threats, mother against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for a letter from him to the synagogue of Damascus, so that if found any who were of the way, you know, Jesus was called the truth, you know, the way and all that. So they used to call them of the way, people of the way. He was looking for the disciples of Jesus to, you know, hound them down and throw them into jail. Whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Verse 3, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus and suddenly, somebody say suddenly. Oh, come on, say it again, say suddenly. Tell somebody around you, say suddenly. God is about to move in your life. Says, suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Because anybody that should strike me down like this must be Lord. Because Jesus did not introduce himself as Lord and King. He was the one that gave him the title, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the gods. And so he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do with my life? What do you want to use me for? Undeniable encounter that led to a divine direction for destiny fulfillment. From this point, Saul became Paul. His destiny turned around completely. Something new started to happen in his life. I don't know where you were before COVID-19, before all these things started to happen, but my prayer for you today, that if you are the kind of person who has been on the wrong lane, notwithstanding how much of passion you are deploying, how much of your knowledge and your resources you have been deploying on the wrong things, I pray for you today that the God who raised Jesus from the dead will put you on the right lane. In the name of the Lord Jesus, that something new will start to happen in your life like it started to happen in the life of Paul the Apostle. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you. Lord, we bless your name. Undeniable divine direction for destiny fulfillment. Jesus, the Bible calls him, it says the name was life, and that life was the light of man. And that light shines in darkness. John 1, verse 3 to 5. That light shines in darkness, and darkness cannot comprehend it. May the light of Jesus shine upon your heart. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Also, it's time for us to trust God for undeniable wisdom. Undeniable wisdom and divine strategy. Undeniable wisdom and divine strategy. The type that Joseph experienced in Egypt, that when Pharaoh looked at him in Genesis 41, when you read from verse 37, Genesis 41 and verse 37, the Bible says, so the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, in the eyes of all his servants, and Pharaoh said to his servant, can you find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there's no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all the people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard of the throne will I be greater than you. I want to announce to somebody joining the service today that there is a place that has been earmarked for you. There's a territory for you. There's a seat for you. There are certain positions, resources, places of authority that God has earmarked for you after this season. And I pray for you today that you will encounter undeniable wisdom and strategy in the name of the Lord Jesus. That time that Joseph encountered, that Pharaoh looked at him and said, it has to be God in your life. This has to be God in your life. Because only God can give wisdom like this. If you backtrack a little bit, Joseph did not only interpret the dream, he gave the strategy. Church, it's high time we go further from just manifesting the gift of the Spirit in terms of just being able to interpret things, but also we need to be able to provide solutions. It was good enough for Joseph to say there will be famine and 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. But to be able to give a strategy for food security in Egypt, a strategy for economic, stability in Egypt, Pharaoh was dumbfounded. May God give you that kind of wisdom in your own field of endeavor in the name of the Lord Jesus. That leads to the third thing I want us to trust God for, which is undeniable miracles and divine interventions. When there's a manifestation of undeniable wisdom and strategy, there will be undeniable miracles, undeniable divine interventions. They go hand in hand. Undeniable miracles, undeniable divine interventions, favor, preferential treatment. That was how come Joseph, a foreigner, could become a prime minister without anybody talking about what's the constitution of our land, can a foreigner become... Mm-mm. Preferential treatment, which we call favor of God. Favor of God will follow the wisdom of God. May the favor of God come upon your life afresh this season. May you enjoy undeniable miracles of divine intervention, of favor, of preferential treatment, of increase. The type we saw in the life of Isaac in Genesis 26. The Bible says there in verse number 12, Isaac sowed in the land and in the same year reaped a hundredfold. And he became very prosperous. Began to prosper. And continued prospering until it became very prosperous. That's the hand of God. That's the finger of God. That's the power of resurrection in manifestation. May you experience that kind of a thing this season and in the months and years ahead of us in the name of the Lord Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. And when that happens, even enemies come to be at peace with you. Genesis 26, when you read from verse 26, Abimelech came to him and said, you know what? We cannot second guess the fact that the power of God is available in your life. So the only thing we can do right now is that we come into an accord with you. Glory be to Jesus. We come into an accord with you. They became his friend from that point on. They became his friend. Time will not permit me to read that scripture, but you can read it from verse 26 to 29. You see how the favor of God, the undeniable hand of God upon Isaac, made him to become a toast of his community. To the end that the people who were against him before now started to come into one accord with him. Lastly today, undeniable radical life transformation. When the power of resurrection is at work in the life of a person, you have undeniable practical life transformation. Radical life transformation. Peter. It's a good example for us as we round off on this. In Luke 22, when you read verse 60, Peter said with his mouth, I do not know him. Yeah, Luke 22 and verse 60. And Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. And immediately the Bible says, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. Jesus told Peter, you don't have what it takes to really follow me. You will deny me. You know, we're talking about undeniable encounters. At this point, Peter had seen things, but there are certain things that needed to happen in his heart that had not happened. He denied flat. But the same Peter, post-resurrection, when he had an encounter with the resurrected Christ, on the day of Pentecost, he was a different person. May you become a new person this season. In the name of the Lord Jesus. By Acts chapter 2, post-resurrection, Peter, in verse 14 of Acts chapter 2, rose up and started to talk boldly. Boldly. Peter, the Bible says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. He was talking with authority. His conviction has gone, you know, to the highest heavens. He now knew Jesus for himself, not just based on the claim of Jesus. So let it be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it was the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet. When the resurrection power comes upon you and starts to yield radical life transformation, you will be able to say, this is what was spoken. You will be the one giving people interpretation of scriptures, understanding of scriptures. You will be the one who will be able to say, this is what God is doing in our world right now. Peter was the one explaining what Joel had spoken. All the people have written the book of the prophet of Joel, but Peter said, this is that which was spoken.
Greatness common.